This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tandon.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that hangs out in cemeteries smoking clove cigarettes. We are here with Herb and Kim from Department 13 Films, or just Department 13? Which is it, guys?
It's just Department 13.
But you do make films.
Oh, yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Department 13 is my current video label. It was established in 1999 to be the all-purpose video label at last, which would produce comedy, action, drama, horror, all underground, all a lot of fun, all tongue-in-cheek, but with that distinct Herb style, which seems to be... I can't even describe it.
You have to be able to describe it. Distinct style. Begs the question.
It's a hybrid of, I'd say, horror and comedy meets the Twilight Zone. Some of it's pretty subtle and low-key, and then it'll turn around and just throw something in your face.
That's very good.
Sometimes boobs.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It's
gray boobs.
Derives a lot of inspiration from way too much late night Monty Python's Flying Circus, Benny Hill, Doctor Who, all rolled into one 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old mind digesting it all. and there you go. I guess what came out of it that was a lot of fun early on was about 16 years ago in this very county, this DeKalb County, about 3 miles down the road, there was a public access station called Channel 12. And that's where we did our first TV show called Twisted Realities. And we were there from 91 to 93.
And what was that show about?
It's anthology horror, very like Twilight Zone. Only we loosened it up a little bit and we had some comedy. We even had a musical in there.
Wow.
Yeah. Some gore, sometimes not gore. Some surreal tributes to artsy, plotless nonsense. which those are the ones that just didn't have any script and we went out and made up on the spot. But they were some of the most fun ones.
I know this is kind of, I guess, a tangent, but I'm interested, what is it like getting on public access? I mean, how does that process work and what do you think about it?
Well, this was 16 years ago.
Maybe it's a little different now.
Well, I think the premise is still the same, is that it's volunteer, but you get to learn everything that you could possibly want to about TV production. Back then, the workshop fee was $10. I know now that it's about $75.
Oh, geez.
But they teach you everything you needed to know in about 4 days. And the idea was that you'd make yourself available for a show or two a week as a volunteer, whether it was lighting director or technical director, floor director. You'd sit back there and call the shots, do the editing, what have you. Sky was the limit, and it was a whole lot of fun. You'd have a lot of studio-based programs, mostly talk show format. You'd get a lot of Decatur City Commission meetings, I think, is that... It's probably not
very
the right...
exciting.
Yeah. D-span.
Yeah.
D-span.
Exactly. Ours was interesting and fun and drew a lot of attention to itself because it was shot entirely in the field. And we would just bring it to the station to edit it because we didn't have any
right.
way to...
Right, it wasn't two guys talking about Zimbabwe sitting on a couch.
No.
Which is your typical things, public access.
There's a lot of things you can do in Zimbabwe.
But actually, I think you're right, though. I don't think the training process has changed much because 4 years ago, I was actually, I actually acted in a public access show myself called the Orange Hat Hour. It's a local band called Orange Hat. They're mostly a multimedia project at this point. They play out about twice a year. But I helped write a bit of that. We have some similar background there. And if I may go on a tangent real quick about
Please.
Goth Girls Gone Wild.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, that
so.
Was the evolution of that. That was an idea I actually had about 3 years ago for the Orange Hat Hour. I was almost always playing a goth chick on that show. I don't know why, because I'm not really a goth chick. It's just something I've always found humorous. I guess it's from... I guess being kind of a depressed kid in high school, and you know, I actually did read the Sylvia Plath, and you know.
Now let me tell
like
you
that.
About that's funny because I was never a goth chick either, but I found out later, you know, like a few years ago, that apparently a lot of people in high school thought that I was or called me that. I was talking to a friend of mine who like her sister got engaged to this guy that I went to high school with. I didn't really know. He was an ROTC guy. I was obviously a Sylvia Plath reading type girl. And my name came up and she mentioned it. And apparently what he said was, oh, I remember her from high school. She was a gothic. And I was like, huh, I didn't know that about myself.
But. Right, because I consider myself a literary type, but, you know, I was one of the founders of the Dead Poet Society. Now, how goth does that sound, right? Off. And, of course, it was taken over quickly by goths, and they would write poems about vampires, and that was the
it
first...
It reminds me of that episode of South Park.
Yeah.
God, those people who were into vampires were just... Those people pissed me off because they were so lame. I'll never forget. And I'm not trying to co-opt this podcast. It's supposed to be about it's y'all fun. And your films and everything, but I have another story. It was 10th grade in, well, either 9th or 10th grade in drama class. And I remember sitting in class and there were these two girls who were, you know, way cooler than I was. Like, I couldn't hang out with them because they were the really cool goth girls. And they were just having this conversation that I just thought was so stupid. And one of them said, I would just love to be a vampire. It would just be so cool to, like, feed off of somebody else. And I remember thinking, what the fuck? That is some stupid shit. Are you serious?
So now that I think about it, see, I think maybe I'm goth inside because I actually read all the Vampire Chronicles and went to an Anne Rice book signing once. Oh, God, never mind. But no,
the
actually,
truth comes out.
I don't think now I am really, though, because out. I somehow through, like, college, I became briefly involved with the Pagan Student Association.
I was briefly involved with them
as
well.
And,
we all flirted with it, didn't we?
Yeah, and so I met a lot of goth people through that, and I'm like, I don't think I'm really one of these people. They all like to wear black latex, and the music's not really my cup of tea. I like to listen to a lot of happy psychedelic pop stuff, but what's my point here? I forgot, but you mentioned vampires. It's funny because through this crowd of people, like, they do the Phantasm Convention, which is also more of a kind of a thing to go look at people and go, what the hell are they doing? But I know the guy who actually wrote those Vampire the Masquerade gaming books, and I'm good friends with another guy who helped write them.
Yeah.
And I never liked, like, I actually briefly dated a vampire role player, and those people are just, ugh, they're sad, you know. They have
that,
like,
was the sound of real repulsion.
They don't have much else going on in their lives, and they just talk about it all the time. And this is ironic. Now I'm like good friends with the guys who wrote that thing. Like, yeah, we just did it just because we thought it was funny to make people do it. And I'm like, Rob and Andrew, they wrote the freaking game. And actually, our friend Joe Christ was actually married to the lady who wrote the vampire books.
That's right.
That they took all their ideas from. So
yes,
2 degrees of separation, but
anyway, so let's talk about goth girls going on, because that's how I originally got in touch with y'all.
But anyway, yeah, that was an idea that I had about 3 years ago.
First of all,
are you going to
people,
edit this later?
We don't do a lot of editing.
Okay.
But first of all, tell everybody who's listening about Goth Girls Gone Wild in case they haven't had the pleasure of watching.
But yes, it was something I wanted to do for Orange Hat Hour, and these guys were a little prudish. They didn't really want to do it. So, I mean, I always had the idea of girls sunbathing in the graveyard. You know what? Of course, you know, I'm an insomniac. You know, I always see the Girls Gone Wild commercials, and I just thought, wouldn't it be funny if it was, you know, goth girls sunbathing in a graveyard and showing their boobs and flipping off the camera? And I actually originally thought there might be some speaking in it where the girl was like, hi, Dad, I'm on Goth Girls Gone Wild, and I hope you die. And, you know. But it's funny because a lot of people, the main criticism we've got is that they want to actually see the boobs, and so we're probably going to put that one out later on a DVD that people have to buy.
Too hot for
TV. I saw that on YouTube, actually.
Yeah.
There were people in the comments that were like, I really want to buy this.
Yeah, I think
Tony Comstock
said
that. You know, I would actually buy that if somebody
So I wrote this script for it, and it was pretty much my baby altogether. Herb filmed it, but I mean, I wrote it and directed it, wrote the stage directions, got together the costumes, and put together the sets that we were, which literally wasn't any set. It was Oakdale Cemetery was the first set, and then Herb's apartment. But I mean, you know, through my, I guess, because, you know, I've studied, you know, the occult and all that stuff. So, you know, I had the ideas, you know, just of, I know what these people are, you know, they're into the cutting, and they do it for fun. You know, it's like, there's either the depressed cutters or the people who are into the BDSM. They have these cutting workshops. So that was we had this fake blood, the stage blood, and so I'm...
There's no real cutting.
No, there's a scene of me with an X-Acto knife cutting my breast, and then I'm taking a black candle and dripping the wax on my breast, because this is stuff that people, these, you know, goths actually do. And so I'm poking fun at goths, but I'm also...
Do that.
I'm making people fun really of goths, that. But I'm also revealing my, I guess, my inner knowledge of... of that scene.
So what was the process like of making this, of finding people to be in it, of putting together the sets and all that kind of stuff?
We, Herb got a couple of girls he worked with at this place he works. Yeah, I can't mention that. Oh, never mind then. She just asked me a question. You tell us. All right, anyway.
You can't tell where people work.
I'm not telling where they were. Herb knew these two girls who used to be strippers, and they decided to be in it. And then I have this girl who's like a tarot reader, and that was originally a scene we were going to do. We didn't. Was she was going to be doing a tarot reading for somebody, and then somebody spills candle wax, and she pulls a dagger out from her bosom and tries to stab him. But so she wanted to be in it. And then this girl I met on MySpace, who's a big fan of The Damned, said she would be in it. And then I was in it. So that was... There was five of us in it. That was all, and no one got paid. I think we paid people in like a couple of beers. That was really about it. It was just more like, you know, do you find this amusing? Do you want to be in it? Mm-hmm. So it'll just be a day. We just spent one day filming. It actually took us about 8 hours, and everybody brought their own costumes and budget.
How long is it actually? Because I watched it, I guess, a couple of weeks ago when I first heard about it. Now it's not quite fresh in the mind. How long?
I prepared it as a traditional 1 minute spot, which is like three frames shy of exactly 1 minute.
Mm-hmm. So,
and with credits, it's about 1:27.
Yeah. So I guess a lot of people don't understand how much work must go into something like that. If you're filming for 8 hours
to get one minute or a minute and a half
of footage,
and you've got to get from one place to another too. It easily took a day.
Right, because the two sets were about an hour apart.
Yeah, you had a nice script that you had written out, and it detailed the voiceover and the visuals alongside. So that was pretty traditional. Mm-hmm. And he
made me do that because I was always like, oh, I just visualize it this way because my cable access experience, we just had an idea and we just go out and ad-libbed it, and then we edited it later. And he's like, no, I want a script. I want you to write this out because he's been making movies for so long.
Yeah.
He I've seen his storyboards and he wanted it frame for frame almost. So I had to actually organize it.
And how much of it, if any, was improv?
Some of the acting was improv, like the stuff with the three of us on that bed, spanking each other and ripping the tights.
Well,
and
I mean,
stuff.
You know, how would you script something like that out? It's like, okay, so her right hand goes on her left thigh, and we want a little red, but not a lot of red.
Mm-hmm. What we needed for me especially to end up putting it together was just a guide from Kim on paper that I wouldn't have to call her up and say, "What are you thinking?" Mm-hmm. Just pretty much. Put on paper what you're thinking so I can see it too. Mm-hmm. And specific points tell me, point me in the right direction, I'll get the picture. Mm-hmm. But when it came time to put it together, it was a matter of, you know, just taking the voiceover, putting that all together and timing it down to where it would be a minute. And then really, you know, I guess that's pretty traditional film work too. You build a soundtrack first in some instances and then cut the pictures to it.
Oh, here's a bit of trivia. We actually shot that on Easter Sunday.
Oh, that's
that makes it so much cooler.
Nice bonus. That
that's
makes it
right.
a lot cooler.
I forgot all about that.
I think you should advertise that.
Right.
I remember that because we were trying to put that to bed, get done with everybody, and then make it all the way to the folks' place for Easter dinner.
Mm-mm, the building's burning down.
The other building.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's not cool.
Okay, we're back. I don't know if you can tell, but we had a little interruption here when the fire alarm started going off, and we went out on the balcony with some beers. And
welcome to Not For Pay Podcasting.
Yeah, we hung around and watched the fire trucks and the neighbors, and
it
was very redneck.
They were jealous because I was sitting here swigging a 16-ounce can of Ice House, and she was swigging a, you know, Corona, and... And the neighbors downstairs were yelling up, y'all got any beer? I see a frosty beverage up there.
I see some PJs and a nightgown.
Well, that wasn't quite as pleasant as beer.
So back on subject, I think where we were was I was about to ask what other projects does Department 13 have in the works?
These days, we are assembling a crack team of doctors and dentists who have some money to throw around, raising capital for production of three feature films, Michael A. Clarke's Feast of the Vampire Queen, Herb Henderson's Redneck Werewolf, and Kimberly Martin's Fetus Army of God.
So we were talking a little bit about the Fetus Army of God out on the porch as we were swigging beers and watching.
It's an excellent morality tale.
The brief synopsis is about a group of about a dozen or so aborted fetuses who come back to life through stem cell serum, and they join forces with an Eric Rudolph-esque abortion clinic bomber, and they go out and the fetuses build the bombs for him, and they go out and help.
They've learned a lot in their short time.
He trains them, and they go out and help blow up an abortion clinic, and hilarity ensues. But it's got actually a pretty pro stem cell research theme to it, and a pretty pro life theme, actually, believe it or not.
So I didn't know you could be both at once.
Oh yeah, because stem cells help prolong life. Because the way the fetuses come back to life is it's an abortion clinic that's next door to an old folks' home, and at the old folks' home there is this mad doctor who's injecting the old people with this imaginary stem cell serum that makes them walk again and live longer. So just like prescription drugs will come out in your urine, this stem cell serum comes out in their urine and it goes into the sewer, and there's like this pile of aborted fetuses that have gone down the drain from the abortion clinic next door. So
because that's how it works.
So
that's
right. That's how it works, right? Well, they had an assistant in that day.
This
but
is right. This,
I guess this, effluent or this urine, say, washes over this pile of fetuses, and they start blinking their eyes, and then they decide they want to see what's out there, so they get on a little plastic garbage can lid, and they sail out, into a creek out of the sewer.
That's right. There's millions to be made off of this.
Oh, yeah.
From action figures, breakfast cereal, and plush toys. Right.
I especially am looking forward to the breakfast cereal.
Right, so we need money for the special effects, so any CGI people out there, let us know, or else we're going to have to get a Teddy Ruxpin, I guess.
You don't want to cheapen it with CGI, do you?
Well,
Teddy needs
and
work.
I think we were talking outside. An army of bloody Teddy Ruxpin would be almost as funny.
Think of Teddy Ruxpin covered in Welch's grape jelly, which is kind of purple but kind of red.
Strawberry,
yeah.
Strawberry, I think.
Let's all go there.
Yeah.
Just
let's go there first.
But yeah, this was inspired, I guess. I read that Creative Loafing cover story about Eric Rudolph and read his motivations. Then I went to the Army of God website.
I thought you said you were reading a Hustler when you got this idea.
Well,
get your story straight.
Jeez, yeah. Lady.
Well,
jeez, lady.
I guess what leaked into my subconscious was after I read this Eric Rudolph article and then went to the Army of God website.
Nice.
And then I guess it was a few days later, I'm out on the front porch reading a Hustler or something, and then this idea about this movie just popped into my head, and I just started laughing.
Maniacally.
This is so wrong, but I don't think anyone's ever made a movie like this before.
I can't imagine that.
Oh, yes.
And with all the remakes coming out of Hollywood, I think we need something original.
We need an army of aborted fetuses.
It doesn't get much more original than an army of born-again fetuses.
Right. So when Eric Rudolph convinces them, your mother's aborted you. We're against, this slaughter. And they say, okay. So he trains them how to build bombs, and he rides with them in his truck, and they're wearing little ski masks and
wow.
stuff.
My favorite part is still rafting out of the sewer on the garbage can lid.
Yeah.
High adventure.
That's spectacular.
Do we have enough time to mention some other titles that we'd like to make down the road? Or?
Well, I was going to say we're...
mention the YouTube thing real quick.
YouTube, we're doing a weekly series. Right now, we're in the middle of Leadfoot, which is a collection of quote-unquote candid interviews exploring the factors that contributed to the disintegration of the person who became the most underpromoted serial killer of all time.
Wow, that sounds complicated.
And once that wraps up, we've got, I don't know quite how to describe it.
It's called Duck Doyous.
Doyous,
it's a short series. It's actually a spinoff of Leadfoot.
It's spelled Dollars.
It's sort of like Sanford and Son. It's about these two guys that are always about to get evicted and all the weird schemes they come up with.
They accidentally travel through time and fight aliens and stuff like that.
Oh, it's got time travel.
Yeah. It's high adventure.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note... you guys want to wrap up any websites or contact information you want to plug? Ooh. Now's the time.
You can find us at department13.com, and that's easily spelled as the letter DEPT1 3.com.
And also, go to YouTube, please, and search Goth Girls Gone Wild or Department 13, and you'll come across us there. And Department 13 has a channel there.
It's true.
And, of course, you know, as nice people, give us good ratings and good comments.
If you want to say hi, you can. There's a MySpace link off of the website. I made a funny noise.
Right, MySpace.com. Look up MySpace.com/Department13, DEPT13.
Yes.
And I'm on there as MySpace.com/KTEIS, which for no one knows this, maybe it's Katais is the opposite of phallus. No one knows that. There's yoni and lingam. And everyone goes,
you learn something new every day. That's
I was not aware of that.
Phallus and... So, yeah.
All right, well, now that all our listeners have learned something, thanks so much, Kim and Herb, for being with us today.
Thank you very much
Thank you so much for having us. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com.